For those of you who may not know me, my name is Eric, one of the pastors here, and I just wanted to let you know a very exciting thing. As a part of our family Sunday, as Caleb has mentioned, we have our kids and youth joining us in the service today. So as a part of honoring the kids and youth in the service together with us, we have a special piece of our service today, which is we got some kids and youth up here to read the scripture for us. So they're going to do that. Please encourage them. Please welcome them with a round of applause and warm hearts, and also with an open ears to receive the message of God. So here we go.
Today's passage comes from Luke 2, verse 1 to 20. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who is now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them.
That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Do not be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger."
Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angel had returned to him, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child.
All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they have heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them.
Thank you to our Advent readers this morning, the Hauser family, and to our scripture readers, kids and youth. It's really good to be together here. Advent, Advent, ein Lichtlein brennt. Erst eins, dann zwei, dann drei, dann vier. Dann steht das Christkind vor der Tür. Advent, Advent, one little light burns. First one, then two, then three, then four. Then the Christ child stands at the door. As a child, those were the words in German that signaled the start of Advent for our family. Every evening, our family had an Advent wreath similar to this, and we would light one of the candles corresponding to that Sunday and then for the rest of that week. First one, then two, and then finally on Christmas Eve, the center candle, the Christ candle. Now, as a child, there's just something magical about candles, right? There's the flare of the match as you light it. There's the wick catching fire, the kind of flame. There's the smell of the smoke if you're close enough to smell that. And then there's the wax that's dripping down. And as a kid, you just want to play with that wax that's dripping down the candle. I don't want to, there's something magical about candles and Advent. I don't want to totally romanticize my childhood either. I have two younger brothers, and so there was often a big fight about who got to blow out the candle. When we got to the third week, it was a good week because there's three candles for Advent, and then we each got one to blow out. But now I get to experience this moment with my kids, with my three girls, and to kind of see Advent and Christmas through their eyes. There's a moment of stillness. We're waiting. We pause. Advent is a season of waiting. It's the season in our church year when we wait expectantly for Jesus to come, and we celebrate that at his birth. Waiting can be hard though, right, kids? It's hard to wait to open those presents. You see them under the tree and you want to go and shake them and figure out, am I getting the thing that I wanted for Christmas? Advent, a season of waiting, of expectation, of longing. We sing songs like, come, thou long-expected Jesus. And the word Advent comes from the Latin, as Holly was saying, and it means to come. We look forward to the coming of Jesus into our world as we celebrate his birth 2,000 years ago in a manger in Bethlehem. But Advent is also the season where we wait for Jesus to come again, to finally make all things right. Advent. Waiting. Expectation. Longing. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Our theme for Advent this year as a church is Repeat the Sounding Joy. It's a line from that great Christmas hymn that we sang at the beginning of our service, Joy to the World. We're going to try something here. I don't know if this is a good idea. We'll find out. Caleb kindly asked the kids to put away all their shakers and bells, which was very considerate of you, Caleb. Thank you. Kids, we're going to try something, though. When you hear me say Joy to the World, you can shake those shakers, okay? If you want. Okay, let's try that. Joy to the world. Yes, or if you have the little bells, you can ring those too. I realize this might get out of hand here, people, but we're going to try it. So, joy to the world. That's your cue, kids. Yep. Isaac Watts wrote Joy to the World in 1719, and it expresses both the joy of Christ's birth, but also of his coming again one day. To rule the world with truth and grace as we sing. At a time of year when the days are getting shorter and darker, we sing of the joy of a Savior being born to be light in our darkness. In a world that often feels dark and gloomy as we read of war, of hatred and violence, we sing of the joy that one day he will rule the world with truth and grace. When our own hearts are heavy with care and burdens, we come together to sing. We repeat the sounding joy that echoes through all of creation. Let heaven and nature sing. What's this joy that's at the heart of Christmas, at the heart of what we believe as Christians? Why do we sing Joy to the World? Kids are doing great. Let's look again at that passage from Luke chapter 2 that our readers did such a great job of reading this morning. We've got all of the essentials of the Christmas story here, right? We've got Joseph and Mary traveling to Bethlehem, Mary giving birth to her firstborn son, laying him in a manger, angels appearing to shepherds at night, shepherds running to go see the child. And then our imaginations and all the countless Christmas cards we've seen and nativity scenes fill in all the other details that are not actually in the story here, right? We've got cows, we've got donkeys, we've got sheep, we've got a stable full of hay, we've got stars in the sky, we've got wise men showing up here. They didn't actually show up till 2 years later, but that's okay. But the important thing, at the center of it all, the center of this scene, a baby. A baby lying in a manger, a feeding trough for the animals. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. And this is what the angel announces to the poor shepherds out in those fields from verse 10 and 11. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Now, this announcement of joy comes to some very unlikely characters, shepherds watching their flocks at night. These are people who are literally on the outside, outside the city, outside under the stars, away from other people. They're on the margins of society, as we might say today, though their job was very important, of course. Our girls enjoy reading the Jesus Storybook Bible. Kids, how many of you have this Bible at home? Do you know this Bible, the Jesus Storybook Bible, a number of you? Okay, it's a great Bible. If you would like it, we maybe have some as a gift here at the church for you. So in this story of the birth of Jesus, the shepherds are described as scruffy old riffraff. Scruffy old riffraff, which my girls think is just hilarious. This, yes, they're giggling at it right now, because this was a funny thing to call each other for a season in our home, scruffy old riffraff. It's to these ordinary, humble people that the angel appears with really big news. News that will bring great joy to all people. God sends his messenger to ordinary people in humble circumstances. Because this good news, friends, it's not just for the rich. It's not just for the elite, for those in power. It's for everyone. It's for all of us. It's for all people, including the poor, those on the margins, the outcast. It's for all of us here today, people living in townhomes and condos and basement suites in Surrey and in Langley, people working hard to make ends meet. Good news of great joy for all people. A Savior has been born, the one who is the Messiah, or anointed one, and he will be the Lord. Notice here, there's three different titles that are used for the newborn baby here. Savior, Messiah, or the Greek version of that, Christ, and Lord. Now these titles were actually also titles that were used or claimed by the Roman emperor at the time, Caesar Augustus. He had proclaimed himself Savior of the world, a son of God and Lord. He'd claimed these titles after establishing his rule across the Roman Empire, imposing what we call the Pax Romana, the Peace of Rome, subjugating all of his enemies. His lordship was won through war and violence and fear. But the baby born in Bethlehem will be a different kind of Savior, a different kind of Lord. We see that already in his birth, right? An ordinary, humble birth, not in a palace. A child wrapped in strips of cloth to keep him warm and comfortable, and then laid in the feeding trough of the animals. And I think the character of the God that we love and whom we serve is revealed in his birth in the Son of God. Simplicity, humility, self-emptying love. The God who is the creator of the universe, stooping down, coming low, entering in and taking on our humanity, taking on the form of a baby, being laid in a manger. He was vulnerable, dependent on his mother like any human child. And that same simplicity and humility will mark his life, his journey from Bethlehem back to a little nowhere town of Nazareth, where he grew up to be a carpenter. Good news of great joy, because our Savior has come to rule, not with an iron fist and impose his kingdom with violence like the emperors of this world, but to give his life away in love and service to others. Great joy because at last the true Lord of heaven and earth has come. Let earth receive her king. Listen to that first verse again. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. When we sing joy to the world, what do you think of when you hear the word joy? Kids, this is a chance for you, if you, kids or youth as well, what do you think of when you hear the word joy? What are things that bring you joy? You can just stick up your hand and shout it out. Things that bring you joy. Yep, I've got one over there, maybe. Annie, I think. You can shout. Elena, anything? Zamboni machine, yes. That brings a lot of joy, absolutely. So fun to watch that Zamboni machine. Yes, Deacon. Your family, absolutely. So much joy, yeah. Your dog, yes, dogs, pets are great. Anyone else? A hand back there, I don't know your names, but shout it out. Jesus. And your cat, yes, lots of things to bring us joy. Couple more here, let's go one more here. Friends, yes, awesome. Your mom, okay, awesome. Family and friends, okay, we'll do one more, yes. Go ahead. Your family, okay, thank you, so good. So many things that bring us joy, right, kids? And grown-ups too. Joy, we think of celebration, we think of happiness, maybe opening presents on Christmas morning. Here's my definition of joy. You will not find this in a theological dictionary of the Bible. You will not find it in the Oxford Dictionary. It's not based on the original Greek. It's just my attempt at a definition here. Joy is that feeling when your heart is full. When your heart is full, when it feels like it's just even overflowing, that's joy. As I think about times in my life when I've experienced joy, one of the sort of highlight moments of joy in my life was the birth of our daughter, Winter. This is not to take away from the births of my other two girls, by the way, just to clarify that. But Winter was our firstborn, and Winter was born late at night after a long hours of labor for Lillian, and then an emergency C-section. And I remember as the doctor handed me our child for the first time, and I got to hold this little bundle in my arms, my heart was so full of joy, it felt like it would burst. I think I've got a picture of us here. It felt like my heart had grown and stretched to be three sizes bigger, like the Grinch. All the expectation, all the anticipation, all the waiting. Our child was finally here, and we were overwhelmed with joy and gratitude and love and exhaustion and all the other things that you're feeling in that moment. Even as I share that memory and that moment of joy from my own life, I recognize the sadness that some of you may carry, the sadness of not having children of your own, the sadness maybe of having lost a child through miscarriage. Those are hard things to carry. For many of us, Christmas can be a hard season of the year because we're reminded of those who are no longer with us, reminded of an empty seat at the family Christmas dinner. Or maybe it's the sadness of not having a family at all to celebrate with, family members who are sick and in hospital or battling cancer. The joy that I felt at Winter's birth was tinged, even in that moment, knowing that my dad was sick at the time with cancer. And at the time, we didn't know it, but he only had a few months left to live. My dad and mom made a heroic effort to come up for Winter's, a few weeks after Winter's birth, from New Mexico to Langley. He was very weak. It was hard for him to get here, but he made the effort. And I know his heart was filled with joy as well, getting to hold Winter. He died a few months after she was born. And so my memories of joy, of Winter and of her birth are mixed also with the sorrow of remembering my dad. And when I see my kids growing up, I recognize at the same time that they're growing up without their opa to see them grow up. But it's into our dark nights. It's into our loneliness, into our fears, into our grief, into the dark places of chemo treatments, of dashed hopes, that we hear the words again, the same words that the angel spoke to the shepherds. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Friends, our Savior has been born. In the midst of the darkness, we can still sing for joy. Our joy is not based in the momentary circumstances of our lives, but in the reality of who Jesus is, the Savior of the whole world. The one who is making all things new. The one who promises one day to wipe away every tear from every eye. So there will be no more sorrow mixed with our joy. And the birth of this child, the birth of Jesus, means that death and sadness and grief will not have the last word. He's come to bring together heaven and earth, to reunite God and humanity in one, as God intended it from the beginning. And the birth of this child is both the culmination and the starting point of God's rescue plan for all people. After his birth, nothing will be the same. Heaven has come down to us. It's why we sing in that first verse of the song, let heaven and nature sing. The company of angels appearing in the sky represent the realm of God and of heaven. And the shepherds and their flocks represent nature and creation. And creation itself rejoices in the good news that a king has been born. The true king has come to rule again. Together, heaven and nature sing of the Savior's birth. As another Christmas carol puts it, angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the skies, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. The mountains themselves are singing the song of creation. And when we sing carols at Christmas time, joy to the world. Yes, a few kids still paying attention. Good job, kids. Hark the herald angels sing, O little town of Bethlehem, whatever your favorite is. We are joining in that song of heaven and nature to praise the newborn king. Our songs are a response to the birth of this Savior, overflowing out of the joy that is in our hearts. Think about that next time you are shopping in this Christmas season, in this Advent season, as you're going to the mall, maybe the Willowbrook Mall just a couple blocks from here, and maybe you're frustrated because you had to walk 10 minutes from the far end of the parking lot through the rain, or you're annoyed with all the people that are in your way. You're trying to find that perfect gift for someone and you just can't find it. You hear joy to the world, come on, the Christmas speakers, the speakers in the mall. Maybe let that song be a reminder for you that Jesus is king in that moment. You see, our culture, as secular as it is, as commercialized as it has become, it still carries faint echoes of that song from 2,000 years ago. Joy to the world, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. The bright lights that we decorate our homes with, our businesses, are another echo of that joy of the first Christmas, right? This darkest time of the year, at least here in Canada, we try to brighten the night. It's our own small attempt, I think, to celebrate the light that has come down, the light of the world. We may not even be aware of all the reasons why, but we long to somehow express the joy of Christmas. So we put up our lights. We buy gifts for people in hopes that it will bring them joy. We come together to sing songs because a Savior has been born. A child is born who is Christ the Lord. Friends, like those shepherds long ago, we've been entrusted with this good news. You see, after the shepherds came and they saw the child in the manger, and they saw that it was just as the angel had said, they left to tell everyone what they had seen. And everyone was amazed. The shepherds became the first evangelists, bearers of the good news to the people around them. Friends, this Christmas, we have the opportunity to be bearers of good news, to share the good news, the joy of Christmas with others, to invite them also to experience the joy of who Jesus is and what he means. Maybe that's through an invitation to Cozy Christmas next Sunday afternoon to a family that you know. Maybe it's to our Christmas Eve services here. Maybe it's an invitation to Alpha that we're going to be running in January. And we're going to be doing that starting January 15th. If you're interested in serving as part of Alpha or even in taking it, there'll be some people in the back today and they'd love to talk to you, and there's a little sign-up sheet. We get to be bearers of good news and of great joy to the world around us, friends. We're going to get ready to sing a few more songs. Let's look at those words again from the first line of Joy to the World. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. As we begin the Advent season this year, this first Advent at our Willowbrook campus, I hope we can be a people whose hearts have room, are preparing room to be filled with the joy of Jesus. Would you pray with me as we get ready to sing? Jesus, we thank you that you were born into this world to bring us great joy. I pray today that you would fill our hearts anew with the joy of your coming into this world. And I pray, God, that we would be bearers of that good news to the world around us. God, I pray also for those of us here who are hurting, who are sad, who are grieving, who find it hard to be filled with joy this Christmas. I pray that you would comfort them, that you would speak to them, that you would remind them of the great hope that they have in you, that you are coming again one day to make all things new. And so we look forward to your coming again, Lord Jesus, even as we celebrate your coming into the world. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.